Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Wednesday, April 21st, 2021, and this is episode 221 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today near Las Vegas is Eric Nathanson. Don't be too distracted with the game. We're just podcasting during a game. Who's going to watch the game when we're on, right?
Hey, Chad. I'm going to apologize and say this is all my fault because I was unable to go Monday morning when we would not have run into a game. But hey, morning baseball, you get coffee, baseball, and us.
That's right. So you can do a little split screen action, right? So yeah. I'm sure you're tired of John Miller at this point.
I mean, I'm sure you're watching the game while we're doing this. I know I've got it open next to me.
Yeah, I'm sure the Giants chatter thread is working right now. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah, but probably.
Yeah, so we were just delayed a couple of days, but that's okay. It gives us a few more games to go ahead and review. Look, I mean, we were talking just a very briefly pre-show is if, you know, the goal of the season is obviously to be 500 overall. I think that is what this team is capable of doing. They're having an excellent start to the season right now. And today's game is not going very well at the moment, but there's plenty of baseball left, as we saw last night. They were down 4-0 and ended up winning that game. Today, they're down 3-0 after three. So there's still plenty of baseball left. But the goal is to be 500 on the road. And that's amazing, right? If a team can accomplish that and then be above 500 at home, you know, they're doing their job and they're giving themselves a chance to be in the playoff hunt. And so if the Giants lose today, they're 3-3 on this road trip, 6-6 on the road overall in the season. So, I mean, I take that as a victory so far. Obviously, they would win this series in Philly.
Yeah, it is the old adage, 500 road, win at home. And I'm impressed to see what they've done after two kind of gut punch losses to start the road trip in Miami. The fact that their bats woke up last night, this is, you know, more the Giants team we expected to see. You know, they're starting to hit the ball a little bit, and that's going to help win these games because the pitching can't keep it up. I'm just shocked. You wrote in the notes, and I don't want to jump down. I'm just shocked at how good their record is after 17 games compared to years past.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were starting off better than any of the championship years.
It's been incredible. I mean, it's been an overachieving. I think they're definitely playing above their weight. One of my friends at the gym this morning, his name is Jim, actually. He's a huge Dodger fan. So we were chatting this morning. I'm like, God damn it, you guys. Like, the Giants have to freaking be, you know, in the same division as you guys. The Giants actually do have the second best record in the National League. But, of course, the Dodgers are at the top. But that's kind of what we expected. Let's go ahead and talk about, you know, we're not going to break down every single game ad nauseam, but let's go ahead and revisit the Miami series. For some reason, the Giants just have bad luck against the Fish. They've had notorious history against them. Obviously, you have the playoff losses in 97 and 2003. You have the Buster Posey injury. You have a ridiculous number of walk-offs that have happened for some reason. The Marlins have the Giants' number, and that's kind of how this series started in Miami. On this road trip, the first game, they did lose 4-1. DeSclafani, who's pitching right now in Philly, was great again. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run. The game was tied at 1 in the 8th when Starling Marte hit a 3-run bomb off of Peralta. And, you know, that's all she wrote. So, you know, it happens. Obviously, the bullpen is not going to be bulletproof. But that was one of the first blown games, really, since the beginning of the season. And you're going to get those. And, you know, the Giants chatter has been moderated really well in terms of people with really negative comments or jumping off, you know, jumping off bridges. But the general Giants community on some of the larger Facebook groups, I have to keep blocking people, Eric, because there are people that just are like, he put in Peralta and he lost the game. Kepler should be fired. And you're just like, okay. I mean, I even read one guy, and we'll talk about game two in a second, who said, oh my God, I can't believe Kapler put in McGee. He gave up the game. I was like, dude.
He was the best pitcher up until he gave up the game.
The guy literally had given up one hit in eight innings. And you're saying Kapler's the problem.
That's brutal.
I know.
I mean, you have to be able to trust your guys when you can. Like, I don't, you know, you can't even, you can fault Peralta. But, I mean, he's not the guy who, well, he let up one runner before he gave up the home run. You know, sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes the Giants' bats are going to beat the other team's bullpen. Sometimes the other team's bats are going to beat the Giants' bullpen. It's just the way it goes some days. It was one of those days in the first game, and that's, you know, they didn't score any runs. So you deserve to lose 4-1 on a three-run homer. I think
that's the big takeaway, right, is they scored one run in nine innings. So good luck, right. You know. They did win a 1-0 game in game three, so it does happen and it has happened, but it's relatively rare. I mean, you gotta score a few runs to win a game generally. You're not gonna win too many 1-0 games throughout 162 games.
No. Game two is the game of the series where the Giants really blew their chance to win the full on series. I mean, Sanchez didn't pitch great, but he kind of fought through his stuff. I really, you know, they were wondering about it on the Giants broadcast, and I wonder it myself. Where is the 97 or the heat that we saw from Sanchez in his, you know, little tryout that he got the Giants job from? He's not getting the ball up there any higher than 90, 92 anymore. So it's, you know, it's a wonder. He admitted he had to do that to get the job, but still, like, maybe do something to maintain the job as well. But again, he's a fifth starter and he kept them in the game on that Saturday game that they lost. What was that? 7-6.
It was a weird game. You know, you're right. I mean, by all accounts, the Giants should have been blown out that game, the way Aaron Sanchez was pitching. I admit I was not watching the game, but I listened to the entire game on KMBR. I was washing my car outside. So I had my AirPods, and I was just watching, but I was listening, especially Dave Fleming was hypercritical of Aaron Sanchez. I mean, there was no holds barred. I mean, Dave Fleming was like, Aaron Sanchez has nothing today, folks. Like, he was making statements like that. He's like, he's pitching with magic. I don't know what he's doing. Oh man, look at that. That wasn't even close. He's barely touching 88 with his fastball. That's faster than Alcantara's changeup, or that's slower than Alcantara's changeup, you know? Which was true. His changeup was like 92. So Sanchez's fastball was slower than Alcantara's changeup because he was throwing, you know, 97, 98. Somehow he got through and he only gave up one run despite it was like six or seven walks. It was something ridiculous.
And a hit batter. Right in front of me. He walked three. That's it?
Oh, I thought he walked more. Yeah, for some reason I thought.
Me too.
I'm not looking in front of me. But I agree with you. Aaron Sanchez has been serviceable so far. He's given the Giants a chance, and that's all you ask of your fifth starter. So he's fulfilling that role, and his stats don't look, you know, awful. But it is a concern. I don't think anyone expected him to routinely hit 96, 97 during games. I think, you know, obviously the scouts and the Giants know all that. He was hyped up. He's pumping as hard as he can during the tryout. But you expect him to maintain low 90s, and he wasn't even doing that. So hopefully it's just he was tired, he was fatigued. I mean, this is really the first time he's had this kind of load in a while, so hopefully he can adjust. But he'll be presumably pitching tomorrow night back at Oracle, so I think that'll be a key, you know, to see what his velocity and location is like as the game develops tomorrow night. But regardless, the Giants did fall down 3-0 after Jose Alvarez gave up two more runs. Belt got him on the board with a solo shot. And then it got really exciting with a pinch hit three-run bomb by Slater. And, you know, that was definitely an auto highlight I would normally play, but not because of what happened in the game. But that was their fourth pinch hit in some ridiculous number of at-bats, but every single one of their pinch hits has been huge for some reason. Their batting average for pinch hitting is horrible, but the times in which they get those hits, which we referred to last episode, their timely hits, has really what's been contributing to their above 500 record so far, even despite their batting average being so low. And that was just awesome.
these are pinch hit home runs too that they seem to be hitting, and all of them are coming with runners on base. I remember Dickerson. I think Yastrzemski is the only one who has a solo shot pinch hitting, because even last night in the game, we'll get to Flores hit a 3-run bomb pinch hitting. And so every time they're doing it, it is one of those clutch timing, because that's what, 4 pinch hit home runs total on the season. And up to that day, they had 4 pinch hits, period. So what is that? They probably have 5 or 6 now on the entire season.
And most of them are home runs, yeah.
Right. And it goes to show, too, the Giants were fighting Alcantara, and they finally were able to put something together on him, which forced them to pull him from the game, and Slater delivered. Like, that's what you want to see from your team. That's why Saturday became such a frustrating loss in Miami. Because they were able to come back from 3-0 down, take the lead 5-3, and you kind of figured from there they were going to be able to cruise, especially when you got Jake no hitting McGee coming in the 9th inning. But as we know, baseball is a fickle game.
It is a fickle mistress. And Tyler Rogers, I love the guy. He just feels like the Rudy on the team. He doesn't pass the eye test. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You watch him and you watch his junk and you're just like, how is he succeeding? I don't understand. But you know what? It's working. And, you know, no matter how much an adventure it may be with Tyler Rogers, you can't argue with the results. And he went out there and pitched what? He was extended more than an inning that game.
Yeah.
A shutout work. Innings. Right. And then he pitched the next day. I mean, he's just a machine out there. I know it has to do partially with a submarine. The fact that he doesn't throw harder than like 82 practically, you know, so he doesn't have the same wear and tear on his arm. But it was great to see him, you know, lock it down. And then, you know, with the 2-run lead and you see McGee coming in, you're like, OK, the game's over. And it's been a long time since we've kind of felt like that with a closer. You know, the dude had only given up one hit in 8 innings. And that was his previous appearance. And so you're like, okay, he's got this, no problem. Base hit. All right, that's just a hit. Tying runs coming up. That's no big deal. Base hit. Still no big deal. Base hit. And suddenly you're like, something's different here. Something's really different here. And for whatever reason, he just didn't have it. And as it turns out, he was put on the temporary COVID list for lingering effects due to the vaccination shot. Logan Webb was placed on it as well. I think there could be some validity to that, but we'll never really know. You know, Kapler said, oh yeah, they had lingering effects. So maybe it had something to do with, maybe had some fatigue or some soreness or whatever. Point being, he gave up 4 hits and a walk that inning. He still got it to 2 outs.
Yeah.
And they were still up. Yeah.
Right. He got those 2 foul pop-ups and it's like, okay, he's going to get out of this. You don't have to worry about it. And then there's that man again, Starling Marte.
Yeah. And so he was 1 strike away from ending, with the Giants' victory, and Marte came through with the hit. Again, 2 out hits, which is your moniker. It's fantastic. It's just so applicable in these situations. But, you know, they tied it, so they didn't go ahead. And you're thinking, okay, you know, they still have a chance. But you know, we talked about how if the visiting team doesn't score with that runner on second base in extra innings, the home team has like an 82% chance of winning. Well, they got that runner home, and so they had the 1-run lead, and then Garcia came in, and again, 2 outs, 2 runners on, and their catcher, Jorge Alfaro, ripped a 2-run double to walk it off. 2 runs scored, and the Marlins went 7-6, again, down to the last out. So this is baseball for you, right? I mean, you have a lockdown closer who's been untouchable this year, give it up, and then the Giants take the lead, and again, they get to 2 outs. So it's just one of those victories that was in their grasp, and they just dropped it, you know? And it's going to happen. I mean, you play 162 games, you're going to have more than a handful of heartbreakers. But at the same time, you're going to have more than a handful, hopefully, of where you're the spoiler as well, which we'll get to, of course, with Philly last night.
I was going to say that's that kind of game that they did it with. Plus, you know, you brought up somebody immediately was like, how could he go to McGee in that situation when that's McGee's situation? Like, he's not losing his closer role because of one game. That was just one game. And the Giants and the bullpen specifically went out and showed it the next couple of games and shoved it back down the other team's throats. Finally, you know, not finally, but instead of getting beaten around like they did in the first couple of games to Miami. Like, pitching still became the story over the weekend by the fact that they were able to win 1-0 on Sunday and bounce back after losing an extra inning game like that. I mean, that is one of those games we're going to – I mean, we're not going to look back on it, but that's one of those games you can point to if the Giants miss the playoffs by a game or two. That's one of those games. It is.
Yeah, wow. This year's marketing slogan is Resilient SF. It doesn't work as a catchphrase or whatever. That said, they did show the resiliency by coming back after a really tough mental loss by locking it down in game three. Alex Wood, of course, makes his Giants debut and pitched five innings of shutout ball, allowed only three hits, struck out four. And the bullpen, which everyone seems to keep jumping on, held them scoreless for four innings. And Tyler Rogers back out there again with his rubber arm, gets the save. And then, of course, Camilo Duvall made his major league debut. Never pitched above high A ball, but he's the guy, you know, in spring who was just blowing doors off of everyone. And he came out and retired the side in order after coming in with a 1-0 lead, which was, you know, it's a high leverage situation. Here he is with his major league debut, and they're like trusting him to hold a 1-run lead. And he did, and he struck out two in his perfect inning. So he looked, I mean, again, this is just what we see on TV, Eric, and we're not baseball scouts, but we've been around baseball all our lives. He seemed comfortable. He had the body language of like, yeah, this is no big deal, which is really cool.
He seems to have that confidence, like he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I mean, he's the guy I've been most excited to see come up and fire through. He's been somebody on Giants chatter that everybody's been talking up, Camilo Duvall, because he could be a closer at some point with that kind of stuff. And we won't even be having Jake McGee discussions, but I don't think that's the case just yet, but he does. He's like a man out there. He's not a kid. He's not scared. He knows that he's good. And, you know, it is impressive to come in the bottom of the seventh inning in a 1-0 game and be able to get two strikeouts and a ground out. And if I'm not mistaken, the ground out wasn't even like hard, solid, crazy contact. So, you know, plus it gives Kapler another option. We needed another right-handed option out of the bullpen, and Duvall can provide that for the Giants right now because they were running out of options with the injury to Cueto.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we went into that game, you know, I personally was like, oh boy, this could be a sweep by the Fish. And with that 1-0 lead, I just thought something might happen. Oh, it looks like we might have Willie Dills joining us here in a minute. So I'll add him to the stream in just a second. Just to let you audio listeners know, we are streaming live on Facebook. And so Willie Dills has joined us. How you doing, Willie?
Yep. Good, man. Got a little soreness in the arm today for sure, but
we had our little Heart Edition podcast last night, and Willie's officially been microchipped, so mm-hmm. we know where he is all at right. all times. Yep. We're all being tracked. I can see you on my iPad right now, so know everything about you. So
thank you, Bill Gates. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we were just kind of wrapping up talking about the Miami series, in which you know, they had a tough loss in Game Two, but they bounced back for game three with that 1-0 win. We were just talking about Camilo Duvall and his major league debut, throwing heat, striking out two. And, you know, even though we hate the slogan Resilient SF, they did show that resiliency coming back and winning that game. But what did you, just to wrap up the Miami series, did you see much of the series? Do you have any thoughts on
it? I actually didn't get to watch the first two games, and I'm happy about that. But I did get to see the third one. It was one of those things. It was funny. It felt like we were snake bit, right? There was a lot of people talking about the whole, for some reason, we just have the worst luck against Miami. And that definitely was how those first two games looked when I was watching like the highlights and stuff. But, you know, we came back, we got one. So it's fine. We're not going to win every series, right? I mean, it feels like it kind of, but yeah, exactly. although and Miami's not, I don't know. They're not. They're a team that could definitely give us trouble. So it, you know, whatever. Shake it off. A couple of good things came out of that series. It's all good.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So they roll into Philly, and here we go. Gabe Kapler facing his old team for the first time. And by the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning of the show, but this is the first East Coast trip for the Giants, of course, since 2019.
Oh, yeah.
And last year's shortened season, they stayed on the West. I mean, they went as far as your state of Texas, but they never hit the East Coast. So this is their first trip in, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years. So it's kind of nice to see some East Coast baseball. It's really weird. Like right now, the Giants are playing, you know, and the game started in the morning. So it's strange having that experience again of these morning games.
Is it still in a rain delay right now?
No, it's are they back up? Five. Okay. Yeah, Buster just hit a double. It's top five. They're down 3-0.
Yeah, all right. 3-0. Hey, down 3-0. We got them right where we want them.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, they roll into Philly, the bandbox that it is, with the Giants showing, you know, low batting average this year, but high power, thinking like, okay, maybe the Giants' bats can get a little healthy in Philly. No, game one is a 1-0 game. Who would have thought, right? Even with Gausman pitching, you know, and he's been fantastic, you still don't expect a 1-0 game.
Well, it's 2-0. There was a runner on when Belt hit the home run.
Right.
In Philly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1-0, 1-0 was the last Marlins game.
Yeah, we
literally had two shutouts in a row. And by the way, did you guys talk about Caselli?
No, I just brought that stat up. I wanted to show
you. Yeah, it's a crazy stat. Go ahead. That was insane.
Per Elias, he's the first Giants catcher to catch shutouts in four consecutive starts since, this is the greatest name, this is an 80-grade name, Broadway Alex Smith from May 6th to 24th in 1901.
Wow. Broadway Alex Smith.
1901, more than 100 years.
Yeah, and he's also the first catcher to catch at least four in a row anywhere in baseball since Francisco Cervelli caught five straight for the Pirates in June of 2015.
It's got to be incredibly difficult, like, especially what's crazy, too, is that he's not the normal starting catcher, right? So he's just every fifth day coming in and getting himself a shutout. It's crazy.
Yeah, they seem to like throwing to him.
The guy can't hit a lick, but apparently he had to call it a game.
Who cares?
Who cares? Well, the best offense is a good defense, right? So there you go, man. Jeez, yeah. So they win that 2-0. You're right. It was a 2-run home run by Bell. But again, you know, Gausman goes 5 innings, and the bullpen picked up the final 4 again. So I mean, the bullpen, you know, yeah, they've had a couple of stinkers, and that's going to happen. Have been overall fairly solid, and we'll get to those numbers in a bit.
And Peralta, by the way, was our closer in that one, which was kind of funny because it seemed to me like, I guess McGee's worked a lot, but he had one bad outing at that point, right? And it was like, okay, I guess we're just going away from him now. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. I thought it was kind of weird.
I think he was just giving him a day. I don't think it was.
Yeah, no, true. That. Yeah. True, because he came right back and became the closer again afterwards.
Yeah, because him and we mentioned this before he came on. Obviously, him and Webb got put on the COVID list for lingering effects or symptoms from the vaccination shots. So we were talking about how, you know, he had only given up one hit in 8 innings prior to that blow up in game 2 in Miami. And he was put on the list right after that game. So we're, you know, just assuming that maybe some of those lingering effects actually affected him out in that game too, because he just, you know, he wasn't finding it, and just single after single. But again, it is a guy who throws nothing but fastballs, so, you know.
But he throws them in the spots he's trying to, and that's why he's so damn effective. Because I see a lot of people in the subreddit being like, I don't get it. How can you just throw fastballs? And it works. It's like, well, fastball is a really good pitch.
Location, yep.
Yeah, it's technically like the best pitch in baseball, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, even if batters may have their timing down, if it's high in, high out, low in, I mean, if you don't know exactly where it's going, you're just, you know, you might not be able to catch up to it. So.
I mean, not everybody's Bryce Harper in the big leagues, so you can throw fastballs by people.
Yeah, and he made Bryce look really bad last night, too, on that last out.
That was satisfying.
Was like way behind. I know. Wasn't that nice? Oh, boy, Eric's reacting to the game. I see that the Giants had runners on the corners.
They scored a run, it's force out. It's a fielder's choice because it was a ball that dropped in front of Harper, and then they threw the guy out at second. So,
one of those, huh?
Yeah.
But we got
Doobie got a second hit in a row, and that's a guy who needs to hit. Doobie's the only guy who hasn't started hitting this last week, so it's good to see him finally get it going.
Yeah. Last night's game 2 in Philly, that was just a fun game, man. Unfortunately, I was actually getting ready for the podcast last night, Willie, and so I was cooking dinner for the kids and everything like that. And they were still down. So the Giants were down 4-3. And then again at 6-3, that was the last time I checked in. And then suddenly it was
10-6.
Like 10-6. Yeah. Like, what the hell happened?
The eighth inning happened. Two three-run shots. And it was funny because you were like, yo, are you watching the game? And I was like, nah. And then I literally just like clicked the tab over. And I was like, oh, my God, what the hell happened? But, I went back and watched it. That's a fun inning. 2 3-run homers in an inning. We haven't. What did we have before that? Like one in the whole season. So it was cathartic, I would say, to finally see them hit home runs with runners on base.
I'm bringing up Buster Posey, of course, because you know we love him, and this could be his last year. And he had one hell of a game. So here's before the Giants came back, Buster had a hell of a game. And by the way, watch the location of his second dong here. This is crazy.
Wheeler will go after Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and Austin Slater. And Buster on the first pitch. High drive, left field, out of here. It's the second pitch that Posey has seen off of Wheeler, and he hits his third home run of the year. You can't tell me he wasn't laying in the bushes for a fastball.
Well, it's exactly what you mentioned the first one. First one, he popped up, second base, just missing it. This time he made sure that wasn't going to happen.
That wasn't a cheapie.
Sends it deep into the seats in the left center field.
Look at that one.
Buster hits a high drive to left.
That was a nice.
He's done it again. Out of here.
High up on his hands.
Holy crap.
On a high fastball.
High fastball.
Watch
3-2
him pull that
up
elbow
in.
Look at that. Oh,
you have to be so short and so quick to the ball at the velocity that this man throws the ball, and he does exactly that. 101.5 off the bat, and he gets to circle the pillows one more time.
God, I just thought that was impressive, man. I mean, Buster, you know, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the way he used to be, but he's showing great signs now, hitting over 300.
Yeah.
Got four bombs for a catcher. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a 2012 Buster coming back a little bit.
He just needed that year off, man. He needed to rest those legs. He's good to go.
He just hit his first double of the year in this game today. So, I mean, it's still continuing. It wasn't just last night. And it's really something to see Buster come around. I mean, that was a hell of a swing. That was. Yeah. You're not kidding. 98 in on your hands to turn it around like that. And it wasn't even close to the foul line. It was to dead left field. That was an impressive swing of the bat. Buster's always had quick hands and could get to the fastest throwers. But to see something like that makes me think he really is fully back. So what do? You put Buster in the lineup for two homers, or do you put Casale back there for the shutout? I mean, decisions.
Tough. Yeah, these are first world problems, right? But yeah, it's funny because that's not your typical Buster swing, I think, that we've gotten used to. He usually likes to extend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see him being able to cover, you know, all parts of the plate and all parts of not even the strike zone. Like, he's just, he must be seeing the ball well. But that homer, so it's funny because last night was basically a home run fest. But it was Dickerson's that was like the legit upper decker. I don't know if you guys watched that one,
go.
But
I
yeah,
the highlights of both
the fly ball,
right,
a
here.
Soft
Dickerson
line
first.
Drive caught, and then a ground ball to the shortstop, Maton.
Boom,
high drive, right field. It is out of here, and the Giants take the lead.
And we got a scoreless streak going.
By the way, that wasn't enough. We did need the second one.
Dickerson's third home run of the year. It's the fourth home run of the game for the Giants.
Dick,
it's 7-6. Flores hits a high drive to left. It is out of here. A three-run home run, the second in the inning, and the Giants lead 10-6.
My goodness.
Some load up. I mean, that was
this
a center fast
ball
too.
Game.
I mean,
Flores, he heard you.
He did
what he should with that pitch.
Oh, my.
I didn't realize, I hadn't seen the camera angle from the side like that. I didn't realize how much he gets on that back foot before he starts his swing. That's
crazy.
Really, it's like
a loaded up.
It's like a golf swing. Like, he's just like moving all of his weight from back to front. It's pretty sweet. But they were just teeing off. They were teeing off last night, and it was fun to watch, man. And then, like I said, that they needed the second one because Solo shot in the ninth. made the final score 10-7. So good thing we had the Flores one as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's crazy. It's not often you score 10 runs and all 10 runs were via the home run. That's what's insane to me.
Well, that's not weird this year for the Giants. That's basically how they're scoring. They're not putting rallies together. They're just bombing it out of the park. It's crazy.
You had Brandon Belt, you know, with the 2-run home run. That was the score there. And then here you had a pair by Posey, a 2-run home run by La Stella, and then 2 3-run bombs by Dickerson and Flores. And boom, 10 runs. You're like, okay, screw manufacturing runs, man. Mm-hmm. Let's just hit it out of the park. I mean, this is the way the game has evolved, right? And then, you know, Eric and I were talking prior to the show, and right now the Giants are tied for the most home runs in the majors with 25, which is like the Giants. I mean, they haven't done things like that since Bonds was on the team, you know?
Well, everybody in the lineup can do it, right? Like DeBron is like the only guy you're not like, yeah, he won't do it. But everybody else, like at any moment, they could launch one out. So it's they're fun to watch right now.
Yeah.
This is crazy. We're talking pinch hits, Chad. They have 6 pinch hits on the season, a double, a triple, and 4 homers.
Yeah.
They're still hitting 07. No, that's the BABIP. They're hitting 143 as pinch hitters, but every single one of them has been an extra base hit. They've driven in 9 runs, pinch hitters.
Well, okay. So Flores, Yaz, Ruff, Crawford, Brandon Belt, all of sub 200 batting averages.
Yeah.
But somehow we're like winning ball games, scoring runs, and it's just we're just launching balls. It's like it doesn't look like they're swinging for the fences every single time, but maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. Maybe this is the new brand. It's just like, hey, don't worry about your batting average. Just try to hit it as hard as you freaking can every time you come.
Well, that's what's so weird about how the game has evolved in all these young kids coming up, and that's what they're taught now. You know, is God, when I was a kid. And even when I was, you know, playing amateur ball, it was, I got 2 strikes, choke up, you know, slap the ball somewhere, right? Make contact, get on base, manufacture runs. Nowadays, it's just grip it and rip it no matter what. And if you strike out, you strike out. It's just a much less valued, bad result than it used to be because it is all about power now. It's hitting to the gaps and over the fence. And it's
like
crazy.
The Steph Curry approach to basketball. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if you miss 3 pointers because you make another one and it's worth 3 points, you know, so it's fine.
Half court shots and bat flips, you know, that's what we're doing.
You know what's
now.
Worth more than a single? A home run. It's worth more than a single.
Would you rather hit 2 singles in a game or a 2-run bomb in a game?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll take the homer, you know, and go 1 for 5 or whatever. So I know it is weird, but I mean, it's working, right? The Giants are 11-6 prior to today's game, 2.5 games back of L.A. They have the second best record in the National League behind those same Dodgers. And it's also the Giants' best 17-game start since 2003 when they were 15-2. Damn. So this is a better start than even their championship years, at least for the first 17 games. I know that's saying something, but hell, I mean, we'll take it. I would have never thought they would have started at 11-6. I mean,
stop the count.
Great.
Yeah, no, stop the count. Let's do the playoffs.
Can we have a 20-game season? Or,
let's just do the playoffs now. We're ready.
They're holding the wild card right now. Let's do it.
Let's play the wild card game now.
Oh, man. No, it's great to see. And we'll get into some of the stats that I think some of it's good news, some of it's bad news in terms of, you know, where the Giants, you know, may progress or recede as the season goes on. But let's talk a little bit about roster moves. Cueto, of course, best case scenario, Eric and I thought, was just a mild strain, a grade 1 somewhere. And that's what he was diagnosed with. It was a lat strain, which is a grade 1. So he's put on the 10-day IL. We'll see how long that really lasts and if he's going to miss 2 starts or more. He's been fantastic so far this year. We need some more triple shimmy in our rotation. So that'd be good to see. But Alex Wood, like before you came on, we were talking about him. You know, he filled in really, really nicely. Both McGee and Webb were placed on that COVID injured list for just a couple of days due to their lingering effects from the vaccine. Both of them have since been activated. Of course, Logan Webb did pitch last night. Let's see. Duggar stayed up as a result. Chadwick Trump was called up. And since then, Trevor Gutt was called up and then DFA'd. I don't even know how that works. I wonder what the conversation was. Like, you're being called up to be DFA'd, or was it, hey, Trevor, come on up. Oh, now you're DFA'd. That's got to be a little rough. So no one's picked him up as far as I know, right? I mean,
the assumption was I haven't seen anybody
he'd probably clear waivers and just be reassigned, I guess. Of course, Webb and McGee, like I said, were just activated. Selman has since been called up and then sent back down. So a lot of moving parts, but you know, the end of the story here is we got Webb in the rotation instead of Cueto because Wood is back. That's really the only functional change that I can see right now.
And it's nice to have a lefty breaking up the righties finally in the rotation.
Yeah.
Giants have been throwing out all righties so far this year. And Wood looked pretty good for his first start. You're right, we didn't really cover him much for that Sunday game, but he did, and he looks like somebody who the Giants are just the place for pitchers to come and reclaim their pitching. I mean, Disco's done it so far. Gausman has shown it, and he became an ace doing it. So, you know, you expect Wood to do the same. It's funny because the one guy who's not performing, Webb, who keeps getting batted around, he's the guy that the Giants drafted and are trying to develop.
Yeah, he's like the guy everyone's the most excited about going forward. But
yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, and I was the most excited. Spring training stats, man. I mean, just watching it, it lies to you because Webb, he looks so good this spring. And then he really hasn't looked good at all.
Well, you know, there was the one game where they were talking about his sinker's got too much movement on it right now and he can't control it. So it seems like he's, you know, he's just really fighting it and he just can't figure out how to get that thing consistently in the zone. So it ends up he kind of gives in, I think, a lot to the strike zone. And that's why he's starting to get hit around. Because at first he was getting a lot of ground balls and he was getting a lot of swing and misses. And now all of a sudden it's just like everything. What's funny is he's missing low too. Right, it's not like he's like leaving it up in the zone. He's just he can't get it into the zone. He can't get it like at the knees or even like tease the zone. So a lot of guys are now just sitting back and waiting for anything else, and he's giving in. So hopefully he can figure that out. He's just it's like his arm's too live right now. So it's a weird problem.
Calm down. Give some of that power to Aaron Sanchez.
he needs to get a shot in that pitching arm and then deaden that thing a little bit.
Giants are fifth in baseball in team ERA at 2.95. So we'll take that. Starters are fourth in the major leagues with a 2.51. And that went up a little bit from Webb's start last night. It was like a 2.39 prior to that. And then again, prior to Webb's start last night, the 16 previous games, every starter had gone at least five innings. Last night, Webb went four. So he finally broke that streak. That's crazy. I mean, that's like, talk about saving your bullpen, right? I mean, we haven't had a true bullpen game yet this year, which will happen at some point. But, you know, the starter gets knocked out in the second or third. So I think that's been real key to the Giants' success, no doubt.
And today was looking like that day with the rain delay, but Disco came out for two more innings. So our starter went four again, and they've already brought in Whistler, who pitched the fifth. So it's a bullpen game again today, which is not, you know, really what you want. Coming home in the middle of a stretch of 13 straight days without a day off. So we're going to really see what the bullpen's made of, I think, over this next four games against Miami.
Yeah. So the power surge they've been experiencing have put them fifth in the National League in slugging and third in the NL. They're tied for the lead in home runs, but they've played like one or two more games than the other teams. So they're third in at-bats per home run with 22.28. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty solid number.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's at the beginning of the season, right, we all talked about we were worried about the pitching but not the offense, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like I'm worried about the offense and not the pitching. I'm like, can these guys actually, you know, get a ball and play or what? And I'm looking at all these pitchers' ERAs. I'm just like, the hell?
Yeah, I know.
This is great. Oh, by the way, Rogers is like the most hated 0.77 ERA guy in history.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
What's up with that?
I can't do it. I know. He can't do anything right, huh?
I can't crap on him anymore. The guy just keeps delivering. It's amazing.
But it's just funny to read comments from every Giants fan like, oh, here comes Rogers. I'm like, yeah, here comes our 0.77 eighth guy. What are you talking about?
I know. You know.
Here comes 3 outs in a row. What do you? Come on, guys.
The numbers and the results—they don't lie.
Smoke and mirrors, but it's working so far, baby. Sure. You know, keeping those guys off balance. I don't know what else you could say.
He's funky, dude. He's funky as hell.
He's funky, and he's going to have some bad games. He's had them in the past, but they do seem to come in bunches for him. It's like he's on or he's off, and so.
Well, I think that's why fans tend to get concerned because they always like you know forever it was Casilla. right? With they thought, oh my god, Casilla's good, because he had that one season where he blew like 9 saves or something, and so fans always remember that, and you're like, yeah, but for like 6 seasons he was amazing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, but you know, you always remember that time when they blow it. So
yeah, we were talking before you joined too about how, you know, the social media is hard, and I've been blocking a lot of people on some of the larger Giants chat rooms, because there was even one dude who got mad at Kapler for bringing in McGee when he blew that one game. And it was like, the dude gave up one hit in 8 innings. And you're like, yeah, limited on Kapler. What the
heck? You put your closer in when it's time to close. That's what
you do. The guy's
6-for-6
and save opportunities, and you're blaming the manager for that result. Yeah. Okay.
Well, he should have known.
He should have known he was going to have a bad night. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you just kind of shake your head at. What are you going to do? But all right, so the good, bad, and ugly. I just covered the good, the bad, the bullpen. Now, this is funny. I added these stats before the Philly series because we were originally going to record on Monday. So I'll just show you how much it changes. At the time, the bullpen was 10th in the National League with a 4.19 ERA. But 2 games later, they are now 4th in the NL with a 3.76.
Yeah. Well, it's early in the season, so yeah.
Yeah, it just goes to show you how fast things change in 2 games. Mm-hmm. And so everybody who, you know, is always pointing to these stats, it's like, yeah, okay. But it's like checking your pulse, you know, right after you worked out. It's like you got to wait a little bit, you know, wait till things calm down and see where your true heart rate really is. I mean, we don't know where the Giants are going to be. And that relates to the ugly, which, of course, the Giants have the 3rd worst in the major leagues, batting average at .212.
Mm-hmm.
The good news, though, is that their batting average with balls in play is 2nd worst in the majors at .249. League average generally hovers around .300. And this is basically, for those of you not familiar with BABIP, it basically removes strikeouts and home runs. So it only leaves in consideration balls put in play that are affected by pitching, the pitcher and defenders, right? And so basically it's kind of a barometer of luck, how lucky you are putting the ball in play. And generally, if you're well below .300, means you're unlucky. And the Giants aren't going to stay at .249 for the season. They're not going to stay at .212 for the season. So those numbers should only go up from here. And so that's the good news. The offense should recover. Their luck should change in terms of hitting, you know, not hitting atom balls, not hitting one hoppers right at people, that kind of thing. But conversely, I don't necessarily think the Giants pitching staff is going to stay in the top 5 all year either. So those two might kind of meet in the middle somewhere,
yeah.
Which is still why I think the Giants, you know, at best are going to be .500 this year. But we'll see.
I mean, our average is the team average at least is getting a little bit dragged down by the fact that the guy who has the most at bats is hitting under .200. You know what I mean? He's got like 60 something at bats, and he's hitting what, like 170 or 180 or something like that.
He's starting to turn it around though right now. It does feel like he's been hitting the ball better as of late.
It was really that horrible start, right? So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's not going to help. Donovan Solano just left the game. He was on second base. There was a base hit to the outfield, and when he took off, it looked like he tweaked something. He came right out of the game. So that's not going to help at all for the batting, especially because Solano's been hitting the ball well. But over the last 7 days though, they are starting to hit the ball better. Like Posey hit .400 over the last week. Wilmer Flores .286, Belts at .238. I mean, not that that's great.
Woo!
Right, but Yaz is up to .250. Slater's at .250. Solano was hitting .250 for the week. Crawford .238, a lot better than the .118 that he had been hitting before that. You know, like everybody but Dubon and Casale really had been hitting the ball. Ruff's just not getting any chances right now. So they are starting to turn it around. And a lot of the games that we saw, like the game last night, you know, it's what you talked about, Willie, at the start of the season. They're going to win a lot of those like 8-7 slugfests. That's what last night was. And that's what I look forward to getting them through, because there's no way the bullpen and pitching is going to be able to keep up its pace thus far. You know, and it shows in games like this. Disco fought through it. He gave up 3 runs, but who knows? If they only give up the 3 runs today, we'll be praising the bullpen again.
3 runs in that ballpark is fine. The balls just freaking fly out of that place. So I will say, I think that one of the biggest things they can do to fix their offense, to me personally, with the fact that, yeah, you're right, BABIP is going to, that's going to kind of take care of itself at some point. I think they could just get more walks. They could just take more walks. Like, battle more, because you saw what happened last night with the who was the guy right before LaStella? It was 2 outs, and God, I can't remember who was up before LaStella, but he battled and got a walk, and the next guy comes up a two-run homer, right? So if we're going to be
rough pinch hitting,
was it rough? Okay, yeah. So you know, if we could do more of that, we see that the guys are hitting it out of the yard. So we just need to get some runners on base, and if the BABIP's not going our way, you know what always gets you on base is four balls. So it's, you know, we need more guys doing that kind of stuff, I think, to you know, improve on some of the, like, it's a lot of solo home runs this year. we got to start hitting them with, you know, two guys on more often.
Yeah, it would be great if this felt more like that, you know, 2003 team where they're just bombing the crap out of the ball, which is, you know, they got that 15-2 start. That was a fun team to watch.
I just looked, actually. Yeah, we're 24th in on-base percentage. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's something that Farhan really values, right? And his signings is really the on-base
percentage. That's Moneyball, baby.
Moneyball. That's right.
I mean, that's why we're stuck with the three true outcomes of like a home run, a strikeout, or a walk. You know, that's kind of the result of the baseball that we're watching. Like right now,
33% of all plays are those three things. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Might even be higher than that now because of the, you know, localized approach. Like right now, Posey's up with first and third, and I'm expecting, you know, one of those three outcomes probably. I mean, that's all you're rooting for.
He swung 3-0, so that was interesting. But he's hot right now, right? So why not?
Sure.
What if he yanks another one into that bandbox, you know, and the Giants get the lead, you know, why not? So he's battling
he's
right
a guy,
now.
He's a guy you let hit 3-0. I mean, with his eye and the way he swings the ball. That's why we see the approach at the plate has not been bad for the Giants hitters. Like when they're connecting with the ball, you talk about all the solo home runs. I mean, at least we're talking about home runs. Imagine if they weren't hitting the ball out of the ballpark, they wouldn't be sitting at 11-6. They'd be like 6-11 at this point. There are definitely, you know, I said it earlier, games like the other day are the ones you point to and say, you know, that could be a swing game, but they've already had 2-3 of those games go in their favor as well. So, you know, it gives the bats credit for at least coming through in the times where they need to. But you're right. If they can get on base more and drive in more runs, it'll make it a lot easier on this pitching staff. Because I really feel like the bullpen, every time they come in, it is bite your nails. Are they going to be able to hang on type time?
Yeah. Well, Posey flew out to right field. So that's the end of the middle of the sixth right now. The Giants are still down 3-1. But again, three more at-bats left. They still got some time. All right. Well, coming up for the Giants, they will be back home tomorrow night at Oracle for a four-game wraparound series against the Marlins. And then the Rockies come in yet again to San Francisco for three. So we should be recording next Monday to review the Miami series. Hopefully they get a little bit better luck against the Fish back at home. I was originally going to go to tomorrow night's game, but that's not going to work out. So hopefully another series after that. What else is happening around the league? I don't have any other notes here, except the A's have won like 11 in a row. What the hell's going on with them?
Well, they do that.
You know,
that's how I felt, they
start 1-7 and then they win 11 in a row. It's like, what?
Yeah, the A's is like the streakiest team in baseball for some reason. I don't really get it. Doesn't matter who they have on their roster. They're going to find a way to win a bunch in a row and, you know, somehow make the playoffs. I don't know. By the way, this stretch, we need to beat up on the Marlins and the Rockies because then we're back to the Padres. And yes, we won that series, but I don't know if that's going to consistently happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, again, you know, even the power rankings, obviously Dodgers are one. A lot of power rankings have the Padres at, you know, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah. They're 10-9, but they're just not, you know, obviously Tatis going down was a big deal for them, but it's like, they just haven't gotten it going yet. And they will, right? They're going to be, slam Diego again at some point.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know that series against the Dodgers and Padres is really entertaining. They had some fun games, you know. And it'll be probably the same this weekend because they battle each other again.
Nice.
Back in LA. It's fun. I mean, it's definitely feels like the Padres are the little ankle biters trying to take down the big dogs, and the Dodgers are like, "Get away, you know?" It's like, "Come on, guys. You're not part of the big show yet." So it's kind of a fun little rivalry to watch. I mean, it's definitely not, you know, Giants and Dodgers, but
no.
You know, whenever two teams get really good within a division or in a league, sometimes this can happen, right?
Well, and they're like an hour away from each other too, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, SoCal series. But, you know, one of the big things is being in the NL West, the Giants play each team 19 times, right? So that's 38 games. That's a quarter of the season just against the Padres and Dodgers. I mean, and that's why you bring up that good point, Willie. It's like they got to get healthy against the teams that they should beat. Because, I mean, look, they took 2 out of 3 from San Diego in the first series, but that's, you know, they still have 16 games to go. They played the Dodgers well last year. They usually do play the Dodgers well. There's something about both teams play to each other's levels for that rivalry. That said, things could go south really quick, though, especially the way the Dodgers are playing right now. They're 14-4, and they're just crushing everyone. And, you know, you could get into, you know, the first 9 games against the Dodgers, and the Giants win 2 of those, and suddenly they're sinking in the standings. So, they need to get healthy against these teams, because it's going to be tough against, you know, those two teams for 38 games. But, hey, stranger things have happened. I mean, this could be reminiscent of the 2010 team. Maybe this is a team that, you know, is overachieving in the beginning, and they continue to do so. And who knows? Maybe, you know, some strange things will happen. But I'm not going to get too excited until about the 40 game mark.
Yeah,
that's kind of. But they do. I don't know. Talking about it,
they do have that feel of like the lovable underdogs, like just the kind of random group of guys. They all seem to be having fun. There doesn't seem to be any, weird tensions or anything anywhere. Like, they just seem to be out there playing ball, and there's not a lot of expectations. So, you know, when there's not a lot of expectations and you're just, you know, going out there and having fun, good things can happen, man. And I'm having a great time watching them. So, you know, no matter what happens this season, I love this team. I love this squad of guys. So,
yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about 20. Nobody expected 2010, right? Look at all these guys that I like. Yeah. All right. Whoa. The Padres choked. Okay.
That's why they called them the Misfits, and they just patched together, you know, a Pat Burrell and, oh, let's claim Cody Ross off the Marlins to block.
And then let's just win it all.
Yeah, to block the Padres from getting them, right? It was like all these weird moves that just somehow worked out. And, yeah, like you said, the Padres choked down the stretch and enabled that, you know, them to win the West. And then we all know what happened from there. So
I don't think the Dodgers are going to choke.
I was going to say that. That's literally where my head was at. I was like, no. Maybe not first place in the division.
No. I am not suggesting winning the West. The Dodgers have won 8 division titles in a row, and they've shown no signs of slowing down there. So it's, in fact, it's the Dodgers, likewise with the Giants, the best start since 2003. It's the Dodgers' best start, like, in L.A., period. Like, they're they're playing just ridiculous ball right now. And so, remember, what was it, 2018 or something like that? The Dodgers, after the All-Star break, went, like, 35-7 or something insane at some point. They were, like, winning 4 out of 5 games, you know, for a very long
Their roster's not fair, so.
Yeah, I know. Sure. It's
if
like,
they
I
weren't just... doing this, I'd be like, you suck.
Yeah, you guys suck. They're playing a bunch of, like, you know, AAA teams. I don't know what it is, man. But yeah, that's the nice thing about watching this year for me, is that I tend to get over emotional during the Giants championship years, especially when it was kind of expected. Now it's like, I don't know, having this record is like playing with house money. So I'm kind of just like riding the wave and having a good time. And if they lose, they lose. It's not a big deal. You know, heartbreakers are going to happen. But looks like Eric just reacted to something bad.
Oh. Dick Philly's misplayed a ball. Yeah. He got past him to let the run score. Yeah.
All right.
He could have kept it in front of him and it would have been at least first and third, but he didn't.
So
and it got by.
An error there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, probably just to get the run in. But I mean, it was a base hit, anyways. It's, you know, like I said, this is one of those games where it just doesn't feel like it's going the Giants' way. And who's going to complain? There'll be 500 road trip, 500 on the road on the season, you know, and it's like you guys, I enjoy the hell out of watching these guys, because now, you know, Dick's going to come up there and try to atone for his sins if there's anybody on base in any good situation. So they're a lot of fun. I love watching them. They all have these personalities. It's like you said, Willie, there's nobody that really rubs you the wrong way, or, you know, there's no Eric Sogard on this team. It's you don't have to worry about some jackass who's going to
Coonrod's on the other team now.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Those kind of guys are gone. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I saw that he pitched last night. So,
yeah. I mean, he looked,
he throws the ball
flame.
Hard.
He was throwing flame. Yeah. I was like, oh God, that's 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. He had two of the top 5 fastest pitches yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, he may throw hard, but, you know.
Hey, we got some guys that throw hard too, though.
Yeah. We'll see Duvall again. I want to see him back out there.
I know, man. That was sweet. God.
I bet we see him today with this.
It's just so fun. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, probably. It's so fun to have guys like that in the bullpen. And I'm so glad he's here. Like, let's go. Let's bring these guys up. Come on. This is the year to do it.
But like none of these guys have stuck. Like we had Ray Black, we had Coonrod. Yeah, I mean, who else is it? It's so weird that none of these guys ever seem to stick around. You know, maybe Duvall. It's Chad was talking about it earlier. He looks so comfortable out there on the mound. Maybe he is finally the guy to stick and stay in that role for the Giants, because they don't have as many as the other teams seem to have. We always seem to flip them for somebody, because we got who did we even get from Philly for Coonrod? Was it just Cash?
Oh, I don't even recall.
Right. No, I mean, it wasn't
like a pack of tobacco. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, nothing memorable. No, that's for sure.
Oh man. All right, well, that'll do it for episode 221. We'll be streaming live, hopefully again on Monday, to review the Miami series. You can follow us collectively at TorchCast on Twitter, like us on Facebook, where we do stream this podcast, or check us out at TorchCast.com, where we'll post all of our episodes and embed the Facebook video as well. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits for Eric, that's with the number two, and at Willie Dills. For Willie. So other than the Hard Edition podcast that Willie and I are doing every Tuesday, which, by the way, it was just posted last night, so check it out at, podbean.com/...
I think it's hardedition.podbean.com.
Okay.
Or you can just Google Hard Edition and it should pop up. It's in all the spots, pretty much.
So what else you got going on? You've been streaming?
Yeah, just stream twitch.tv/WillieDills, where you can find me streaming the Hearthstone. I was trying to hit triple legend in Hearthstone this season. So there's three formats now, and if I can hit legend in all three of them, that'd be quite the feather in my cap. So we're going to be going for that. The triple crown. I'm going to try to become a triple crown winner this month.
Nice. Eric, Cabrera anything style. Going on?
Nope, just go to Facebook, join the Giants Chatter Facebook group. We have a lot of fun talking games. There's always game threads in there. And it's a good group of guys. We keep everything focused on Giants baseball, so there's no BS, there's no other extracurriculars whatsoever. So Giants Chatter, it's a good place, a good alternative for Giants fans to go when they don't want to deal with the crazies on certain other pages.
It does seem a little more less reactionary, yes. Less recency bias, more people who are just, long-term fans.
Exactly. Yeah, I can speak from the admin perspective. That's how everybody kind of views it. So, we don't have any crazy reactionary, the world, the sky is chicken littles, I guess.
Oh, my God, he blew one save. Right. DFA! Yeah. DFA him now!
We do all that stuff, but we do it tongue-in-cheek because, it's a 162-game season and everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's a long haul, which, by the way, I just... downloaded MLB The Show last night for my PS5, so I'm going to probably log on today and start building some crazy stadiums. That's a brand new feature in that series, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We're talking you can push the foul poles out to 499 or as short as 270, and you can build walls as tall as 80 feet or as short as 2 feet. So you can make some funky-ass dimensions, they got all the surrounding stuff, You can put in an amusement park or buildings or a desert or a beach or that kind of stuff. So it's going to be fun to kind of play around with that. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'll share some of those videos down on TortureCast for baseball fans. But that'll do it for episode 221. We'll see you next Monday. And hopefully the Giants do a little bit better against the Fish. Of course, the Giants are losing 4-1 right now, but that's okay. They're still be 500 on the road. So until Monday, we'll see you then. Aboom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.